Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Thanks for joining me tonight. I have a really great episode lined up for you. I want to welcome all our new listeners who might be joining us this week. I saw a big bump in downloads after good friend of the show, Tony Merkel, gave us a shout out on his podcast, The Confessionals. His show is absolutely top quality. And if you like this show, I recommend jumping on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast platform you use and subscribing to his show, The Confessionals. I'll leave some links to his show in the show notes of this episode. Tonight I have Gavin joining us, and Gavin has had a handful of really interesting Yowie encounters in the state of Tasmania. One of his encounters involves a possible family of Yowie, so keep an ear out for that one. But before we get into that, let's talk about some iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews. Each week, I'll read out a new 5-star review that is left for me on iTunes, so if you want your review read out, simply jump on iTunes and leave a 5-star review and let me know what you enjoy about the show, and I might just read it out on the next episode. This one's titled Interesting and One of a Kind, and this comes in from Neen444 from Australia. To have an Australian-based paranormal and UFO encounter show and to hear people's unique experiences is amazing. The show notes just add another layer of evidence to support believing. Hope this show stays around for a long time and more people share their encounters. Oh, and before I forget, I'm proud to announce that we now have a private Facebook group. If you want to chat to other listeners of the show, simply jump on Facebook and search for Believe, Paranormal and UFO Listener Community. So if you're interested in that, I'll also include some links in the show notes. But that's enough of me talking. Let's get into Gavin's Yowie encounters. Tonight I'm joined by Gavin. Thanks for joining us on the show tonight, mate.
No, you're all right. There's no worries on that.
And you were telling me a little bit earlier that you've actually had a couple of Yowie experiences. Do you mind kind of taking us back to the first time you had a Yowie experience and kind of walking us through what happened that day?
Oh, it was just many years ago. It's a little place up behind Coffs Harbour, Yeelong, Lawanna area, and there's a little bushland, old bush they call it. It's called Black Mountain. We just went up there one day, just before the Port Arthur massacre. I just took a friend up there. I had an old rifle at the time and a gun license. I thought, I'll take this thing up here and just to give it a test run. And we were just walking along this really, just beat up forestry commission track that was really, really kind of overgrown, but not overgrown, half and half. And I noticed branches pulled down and a lot of bark ripped off. I'm thinking to myself, those storms been through here. And my young companion at the time, he's sitting there looking too, and he goes, we haven't had any big wind storms or anything like that. And, well, all of a sudden, you notice something just moving in the bush, and we thought, oh, well, being where we were, might have been cattle in the forest, because a lot of cattle we used to get in there and that. But it wasn't no cattle, I can tell you that. And, yeah, it was just really weird what happened. We kind of noticed this movement, this blackish-grey kind of, I don't know, it was really, this is going back a few years, and it was looked at us, and a funny, weird smell. We thought, yep, definitely thought, yep, all the old timers were right about these things in the bush and that, because a lot of loggers used to talk about stuff like that. And, yeah, we had that horrible smell. I still remember it in a way. But, yeah, I really, can I say crap myself?
Yeah, absolutely you can.
So first thing I told the young fella was don't run or anything like that, because this thing, the way it was carrying on, it was just not good. It looked like we might have been in his turf or something like that.
It was being a little bit aggressive towards you, was it?
Just a wee bit. Like, I reckon he would have had a go, or he's protecting a family, or you wouldn't know. But we just sat there. I didn't really sit there. I just had the rifle in my hand. The first thing I did was let a couple of shots go before I told Tony, to young friend at the time, to take off. He was already gone. He beat me about by 2 miles. But I walked backwards, and this thing just took off the other way, through the scrub, just pushed anything in the side. I think the rifle noise might have scared him, but I think he might have been a family there, or he's protecting a family or something like that. But I can tell you one thing, there was a lot of sticks and things just ripped apart in this one little area on this old forestry road. That's all I can remember on that part. And a lot of people used to tell us, like one bloke turned around and he told us one day, we were sitting down, having a quiet beer, and he just kind of mentioned it. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, he shot a kangaroo and he left it on his tank stand. And he came over to see us. We're at the RSL club. And he kind of spun out when he came and was talking to us. And I said, what's wrong? And he just said, we left the kangaroo sitting on the tank stand. Nothing could have got hold of it. The dogs couldn't have got it because the tank stand was too high. No goannas or anything like that. When he came back, it was gone. And his dogs were hunkered up in the dog pen. Like, they just didn't want to go anywhere. And, yeah. But, yeah, a lot of mysterious things used to happen up that way.
Yeah, that so it's a kind of a bit of an urban legend around that way, that there was yowies in the bush there.
Yeah, like, just all the loggers up around the Dorigo, Eastern Dorigo, and places like that. Like half of that place up there is like unexplored, really. They should have someone up there exploring it, putting down sound equipment and that. Because I tell you, it's just like a primeval area in some parts of that rainforest. Sometimes you hear, like, you might hear a tree limb fall down. You might think it is. It could be a wood knock. I wouldn't have a clue. But sometimes you can hear things going through the scrub. But like I said, a lot of cattle used to get in there in them days. Like, people used to, the cattle used to get through the fence lines and go through there. But sometimes you weren't sure if it was cattle or something like that. Sometimes if you're out there, you used to smell weird musty smells and things like that, thinking, you know, like it's damp leaves and, like, mould and stuff like that. But half the time it wasn't. It smelled like dead roos or things like that. And you'd be looking around thinking, where's the carcass? No carcass around, just always that beating eye feeling that something was watching half the time.
Did you get that feeling on the day that you saw the yowie?
Well, kind of, and yeah, in a big way, yeah, in a way. It was like little hairs were standing up, but just, you know, just cold. You know how you get a cold chill on that? And I just thought, oh, a bit of a cold chill. But after seeing that little episode and that, and I still reckon this day would have went us. I think it was protecting either a family. He might have had a family, a young one, or could have been a female, for all I know. But all I know, we got out of there pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. Now, when you saw the yowie, do you know how big it might have been?
Oh, no, roughly probably 8, 9. I say it would have been a young one or something like that, or a female or something. I don't know. All I know is that this thing just didn't want us around, and all I knew, I didn't want to be around.
Yeah, right. So about 8 or 9 feet, you reckon?
Yeah, just like a furball, you might as well say. But it was like in the shadows. You can just work it out because it was like the sun was like a dusk, just on the dusk. And it was like a hazy shadow. And I thought, oh, what's going on? I knew exactly what it would be, what it was. You could, because of all the old timers, like I was saying, they used to just tell us about things like that in the scrub. When they go logging, they always had that feeling that something was watching them and that, but I don't know what it'd be like these days up there.
No, that's fair enough. You said there was a lot of trees broken and a lot of bark missing. Do you think the Yowies may have been building a shelter or anything like that? Is that something that the loggers have spoken about before, seeing structures in the bush or anything like that?
Well, they've never mentioned structures, or they probably would have seen structures. I don't know. But I reckon the bark was marking the territory, like ripping the bark off and that.
Okay.
And breaking the trees. That's about all I could work out. But I didn't see structures. I wasn't really taking much notice or anything like that at the time.
Yeah, it's just when you hear there's a lot of trees broken and the bark missing, I'm just wondering if that could have been them maybe constructing something in that area. And it could also kind of explain why the Yowie was so aggressive towards you.
Yeah, well, ever since then, I've had looked up a bit about things like that, about structures and that. And, yeah, you're probably right. He probably was building something in there, just didn't want nothing around at the time. I think I still remember how to get there, but, yeah.
And that location, is it pretty isolated or is it kind of a well-travelled little back path?
Well, at the time, used to go to the turnoff, Black Mountain turnoff. You used to, wasn't that far from a town called, little country village called Loanna. And you used to be able to go up there. A lot of people, if they're listening to this, might know the area and that. Up around there, you had Loanna, Yulong, Timsvale, and Camp Creek, places like that. But Black Mountain turnoff, you used to be able to go to the, oh, if you turn to a certain, when you come to the turnoff, you go left, you head to the Little Nimboida River. But when you turn right, you can also come back down that way to Glen Ray and that. And there's all these little offshoot forestry roads that used to be along there and that. I don't even know if they're still there, most of them. But about that.
Gavin, you said you had another Yowie encounter. Do you want to?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kind of walk us through that encounter.
Oh, this one's a beauty. Oh, this one is. Hey, this is no lie, no joke, no nothing. This is just a full-on weird one, this one. It was just on dusk. It was. It wasn't in the 80s. I think it was about the end of the 90s or roughly 2000. I can't remember. It was that long ago. But we were sitting at a house in Yulong, and there was a paddock, like he had a gully with a creek in it, then another house halfway up the road, and a fence line. Well, we were all sitting there just on dusk and that, and I've seen movement over in the paddock, just on the corner where the forest went into the paddock, just, you know, the fence lines.
Yeah.
Just these things playing, like they were looking, I thought at first they were kids. I'm thinking to myself, they're not kids at all. Could be dogs, for all I know. Sitting there watching them, my mate at the time, he was watching them too, and he's going, what the hell is that? And I'm going, I don't know. We're watching them and watching them. And I've got, I bet you they're little yowie baby ones or something, just mucking around for a joke. Yeah, yeah, probably are. Next time they just cleared the fence line, and, oh, that's fair enough. We sort of, might have been dog or something. Wild dog or something like that, but there's two of them rolling around and playing. Must have been, I don't know what they were really doing, just really playing. They were young looking and that, but from our distance, we're about probably 8,000 metres away. Oh, you know what I mean, like distance, on a distance, long distance kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Just on sundown. But the weirdest thing was, they were playing, and the next thing we heard this grunt, the biggest almighty grunt. I thought at first it was a wild pig, or a, because there used to be a deer farm up there, and I thought one of the blokes' deers got out, one of the stags or something, because they mentioned a couple of times somebody's deer used to get out, but she weren't no deer, because it came crashing through the gullies, through the creek and that. It was grunt. As soon as it started grunting and carrying on, those two little whatever they were went back over to the other side of the fence and nicked off into the, you know, into the rainforest or forest or bush or whatever. But this thing was going through the gully. It was ripping whatever it was. You could hear it splashing because there's a little bit of water left. We've gone, oh, let's go and have a look. I'm thinking, yeah, all right. We'll go have a look, all right. And we went up. We could hear it tear up a bank. Don't ask me how it got up this bank, because I tell you one thing, a deer wouldn't have got up the bank, or a wild pig or a cow, because the damn thing was about 10 foot high or a bit higher, because it was just an embankment off the side of the road cut into the corner of the hill. And whatever it was, it cleared that, got up there, don't know how many leaps it took, and got into the scrub up there and was ripping it apart. And, you know, it was grunting and growling and carrying on. And well, I wasn't going to get it out of the car, and it was me, mate. We just thought, man, it's just a big deer. But then we realised that's no deer. A deer wouldn't even jump that high, or a cow, or a bloody pig, or whatever, anything like that. So, yeah, that really has gone for a few days, and that no one got much sleep after that. And every morning, every afternoon or morning, someone would go outside the house and look across into the paddock to see if anything was there.
Yeah, it sounds like it was two little scallywag baby yowies going on there.
Yeah, it was just pretty weird, that's all. Like, I don't know. But that incident that I told you on the forestry road and that, I reckon might have something to do with that. He might have been protecting babies and that, and they grow on, because they've grown up and gone for a wander around, or not next family or whatever, I don't know. But all I know is that someone should get up there and explore that place. Like, literally go bush.
How far away was this second encounter from the first encounter?
Well, the first encounter was, I don't know, pretty close in a way, but not close. Just like I said, everything happened on dust. It seemed to be like this dust and all that. But the second encounter was pretty far away, because you could see the movement and the rolling around, but you couldn't really actually look at them. But they did clear a barbed wire fence, I know that much.
Yeah, right.
When that grunt noise happened and that thing, whatever, went for a little terrorising through the bushland there, and cleared the road, and then got on that bank, then into the next bush line.
And did you say you and your mate went and drove down towards where all this was happening?
Yeah, afterwards. After got some courage, of course.
Yeah.
But now went and had a bit of a look, and where it happened, it was a bloody big embankment. Like, even you, me, and that wouldn't be able to climb that without, like a few, you know, strides and that, like, get up it. Not even a cow would get up it, or a deer, or nothing like that, unless you're a mountain goat. But, this thing, whatever it was, I still remember it. It just cleared that, whatever it was. But we didn't see that one. We only seen the baby ones, or whatever they were, the little ones or whatever, rolling around and playing, but he must have been the head honcho or something, the male or something like that. I say mum might have been not too far away or whatever, and who knows with them. But I know they're...
Does your friend hear the those same noises, like the grunts and the
yeah,
yells?
He was sitting right next to me, and we saw both of us gone, what the bloody hell's that, at the same time?
Oh, no, I mean more so since the incidents happened.
What, up there now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't talked to him for years and years, and I wouldn't have a clue. I don't think he's still up there or nothing like that.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of this happened during the 80s and 90s, around that area and that. Say a lot of things up there, but they're up there. Like I said, it's just the wild bushland. Like, it's tropical, not like the rainforest you guys got up north and that. It's like subtropical, like thick, dense. Most of it's got tallow wood in it, and possibly a few cedar trees left and things like that. And very hard terrain to get into. And I reckon it'd be a terrain where they would you know, keep to.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
I know they probably, yeah, well, at night they probably would walk the paddocks and that. Sometimes you hear, oh, well, like we heard noises and that and things like that. Like in Moana, I used to live there and had a pine tree area just not far from us. We used to hear weird noises and that, but being a dairy area with cattle and things and horses running around, you just think, oh, well, it's a horse and that, or a cow running amok.
Does it make you second guess those noises now?
Does now and then. Every now and then I think about the noises and think, yeah, I don't know, it still gets me. It doesn't get me scared enough. I just can't figure it out, that's all.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. Gavin, what do you think of Yowies are?
Well, what I've read, and I've ever since all that's happened, I've read a few things about it. To me, it's just some, I think it's just a lost species of ape, like him and Giant Apithecus or whatever they call it. It's like an ancient Stone Age thing. It just hasn't evolved in that. That's what I don't know. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, and you know, there's no wrong answer because in reality, no one really knows what Bigfoot or what Yowies are. So, like, what you say is, you know, there's no wrong answer at all. So,
well, the legends go from all around the world. A lot of people have said lots of things and that. So, who knows what's out there? Most people might think, oh, well, could be anything really. Like a lot of places. You know, I haven't been properly explored in that, like up the Cape and in where I was in that. A lot of cedar getters used to get in there, but they wouldn't go into the big valleys and things like that. Some of the valleys you can't even get into unless you got a rope.
Yeah. It can get pretty thick up that way. And has your opinion on what these things might be changed since you've had these encounters?
No, I haven't changed my mind about them. They're out there. Don't worry about that. They're out there. It's probably why a lot of animals probably go missing. I reckon even knocking humans off myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you do hear quite a few stories of just empty cars on the side of the road and people are missing, so.
Yeah, well, that's it. Unless the Forestry Commission are keeping it hush-hush and who knows. Like, I reckon they probably are keeping it hush-hush because they probably don't want some a heap of blokes out there gun-toting trying to shoot one if they let it all out.
Yeah, absolutely.
The anarchy in the bush. Oh, look, there's one over there, and bang, oh, there's another bloke. I just shot him.
Well, and that's the issue, really, because with this type of, I guess, encounter and how many hoaxes there are out there, to go out there and encourage to go, say, kill one of these and bring it in, it's a really dangerous thing to do.
Well, like I said, they are, like I mentioned, this thing was aggressive, the kind of behaviour. And if they can bulldoze a bush down in an old thicket in the gully and a bit of creek down, I don't want to be in its path.
No. No, and I don't blame you there, Gavin.
No, they're too damn dangerous. Oh, they're not, I don't think they're dangerous. Like, they're just inquisitive. They are, they're inquisitive. Like, mankind's ripped it into the bush and that, and there's the Aboriginal legends that used to talk about the hairy man of the bush and things like that. And well, the Aboriginals could talk about the hairy man of the bush. I reckon they know a lot more about it than what we do.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100% there, Gavin. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your experiences with us, Gavin. I really hope someone out there has got something from this because they're quite unique.
Yeah, well, they are. They're a unique species to themselves. But I'll give you some advice out there, people. If you do come across one and it's looking at you, just keep still. Because I reckon if they're like any other predatory animal or anything like that, they'll just walk away. But if you make a move towards them, unless they get aggressive or hope you can run.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.